Hi, this is Rini Primeza, the Jersey Dog Trainer, telling you to stay tuned to WNJC 1360 AM for Thursday in the Doghouse, coming right up.
Mama was a mutt, Daddy was one too. Me, I'm a little bit of everything, everything that I use. One day I'm walking down my...
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the only live radio program in South Jersey that's devoted to the subject of dogs. I'm your host, Rini Primeza, the Jersey Dog Trainer.
And I'm your host, Karen Fazio, the Dog Super Nanny.
Both Karen and I are professional dog trainers and behavior consultants. We meet people every day who complain about being frustrated when they can't get their dogs to pay attention or to come when called. People call us because their dogs are afraid of people or other dogs, or maybe they're lunging at the end of their leashes. All too often, someone will purchase or adopt a dog before doing any research about that dog's breed. Then when the dog begins to behave in a typical fashion for that particular breed, the owner becomes upset or disappointed in the dog for doing what comes naturally. Then they call us for that. We hope you'll put our show on your calendar so you can listen to us each Thursday morning from 10 to 10:30 right here on WNJC 1360 AM. We guarantee that you'll become a very well-informed pet parent. In a little bit, Karen and I are going to talk about some fear issues that include dogs being afraid to get into the car, being afraid when cars pass by while they're on a walk, and dogs who want to chase cars. If you have a dog with any fear issues, you're welcome to give us a call today at 856-227-1360, and we'll try to offer some advice to help you resolve the problem. Again, give us a call at 856-227-1360. You don't have to be shy. Neither Karen nor I will bite. Before we get started today, please let Karen Fazio let you know about the services she offers in the Keyport, New Jersey area as the Dog Super Nanny.
Are you the owner of a fearful or aggressive dog and don't know where to turn? Have you called other trainers and they've turned you down because they don't want to deal with an aggression case? Then My Best Friend Dog Training and its special service, the Dog Super Nanny, is maybe just what you're looking for. We do in-home private consultations. We're located in Keyport, New Jersey, and we do travel. Our phone number is 732-533-9376, and our website is mybestfrienddogschool.com. We are positive-based trainers and don't use physical punishment or fear as a way to motivate your dog. We use games and fun as a way to do that, and we also help you during the whole process. So give us a call. We're here for you. 732-533-9376.
Thursday in the Doghouse. I am the Dog Super Nanny, and with me today is Rini Permeza, my co-host, and we're going to be talking about issues related to the car. So if your dog is fearful of the car, gets sick in the car, chases the car, is afraid of cars, we'd like for you to give us a call today at 856-227-1360, and maybe we can offer some advice that might help you out. But I'd like to start the show with one of the most common problems with cars, and that's the issue of car sickness. And if you've ever had a dog that has this problem, it's really debilitating, because, I mean, we are going to have to take our dogs in the car at some point, either to take them to the vet, or if we have to go traveling somewhere to drop them off at a boarding facility or a pet sitter when we're away on vacation. I mean, having the dog in the car is an unavoidable thing. And I'd like to talk about car sickness a little bit. And the dogs that usually are the most commonly affected, and in my experience, I've found that sighthounds, you know, dogs that use their vision, such as greyhounds and other breeds, usually get car sick, and so do herding breeds. For some reason, herding breeds seem to be quite susceptible to this, and this could be the Border Collie, a German Shepherd, and others in that classification. And, you know, there's quite a lot of information out there as to why a dog might get car sick. One it may not ever have been in a car as a puppy during its socialization period. It could have had a negative experience, or it could just be, you know, kind of a weird kind of sensation. I mean, you know, not all of us could go out on a fishing boat and take that rocking motion and not get car sick. So, you know, it's kind of like an individual thing as well. But there are some things that you can do to improve it. And I just want to go off real quick. I would like Renee to chime in on this, but I want to give some of the early warning signals that your dog might have an issue with car sickness or be getting sick in the car. And usually, you know, a dog will get in the car, a dog that's nervous in the car will begin to pant. It may start yawning quite often. And one of the key things to look out for is drooling. When you start seeing drooling, your dog is in a very nervous state of mind or an overstimulated state of mind, and you need to start giving him a break. Renee, why don't you pop in some suggestions, and then I'll chime in, and I'll chime in as well. What's your suggestion for dogs that get car sick?
Well, first of all, you have to remember that there's always associative learning going on. So sometimes we have a single event where you put a dog in a car, and let's say he did get sick. This can happen with a puppy too. And then, you know, every single time you get into the car now, the dog associates getting in there with nausea. So we have to be very careful. So if you see these signs that Karen's been talking about, if you notice that your dog is showing true anxiety and drooling and things, it's time to pull over and give your dog a break. So sometimes that can happen within, let's say, the first 30 minutes. Sometimes it can happen within the first 5 minutes. Sometimes, you know, what I'll recommend to my clients is to give the dog one or two ginger snap cookies before you go, you put them in the car. And
wonderful suggestion.
Yeah, I've had a lot of people tell me that that really helped. You can also go to a GNC or any vitamin shop and get ginger powder. You know, if you don't want to just give cookies, just get the ginger powder and give that to your dog.
Now, that would have to be an organic product, or at least a product that has natural ginger in it.
Right, exactly.
I think that you would want to stay clear of products that have ginger flavoring, because it's not really true ginger.
Correct. I agree.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely. I agree wholeheartedly. There's also the association of, I only get in the car when I go to the vet and get needles and I get pinched and they do nasty things to me. So once you start with that, then it takes a little time to change the dog's emotions about getting in the car again, you know. So, you know, I've worked with dogs like this, and more often than not, we can help the dog by just starting very slowly to put the dog in the car, and hopefully you won't have to go anywhere for a while.
Mm-hmm.
But you put the dog in the car, and you make good things happen. You get in the car, and you give the dog boiled chicken or low-fat string cheese or freeze-dried liver, and then you toss a treat out of the car. This is what I do. It's like approach and retreat. Come in the car, I'll give you all kinds of goodies, and now I'm letting you get out of the car. You're not locked in here. So that helps a lot. And then the dog starts to realize, okay, well, if I get in the car, you know, I have all this good stuff to look forward to, and I don't feel trapped right away.
I think that's really important. So, like you were saying, I mean, you wouldn't want to start this exercise, you know, say a week before your dog has to go to the vet for its annual vaccine.
Yeah, but guess what? That's when a lot of people call me.
I know.
You know, so it's like almost impossible to get through that, because you need to have a good couple of weeks, 2 to 3, even 4 weeks of this desensitization process and counter conditioning in order to help the dog change its emotions. When you have an emotional problem, there is no quick fix for that.
No, there isn't.
You know, I've had arguments with other trainers about that, and you know, you have to deal with the emotional aspect of a problem like this, because you'll never change the dog's mind. You know, you certainly can't punish a dog that has a fear of cars or that gets car sick.
You know, I could remember, I'll share a personal story, when I picked up Lucy, when I rescued her from her owners. They said, you know, she can never go in the car. She gets very sick in the car. And I'm like, oh, okay. you know, I know everything, of course, right? I'm a dog trainer. Yeah, all right. I mean, the dog made it to my house fine. It was literally only two blocks away. But I'll tell you what, I couldn't take this dog in the car for more than a minute.
Mm, really?
I mean, she would vomit in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
It was really sad. And, you know, what I did was I got her in the car. And what I did was, like you said, I just got her in the car and just sat in the driveway.
Mm-hmm.
And then I backed the car out of the driveway, put back in the driveway, took her out. We would follow it up with a fun game, or maybe I would go for a walk and we'd get a little ice cream, mm-hmm, or something fun like that. And you know what? It took about a year.
Wow, that's a long time.
Desensitized to the car. Mm-hmm. And the big event for her was we had a summer house down in Barnegat, and we all went down there for a week. And she went, we took two cars. I was in one car, my husband and my stepson and Lucy were in another. And she just adores my stepson.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a big deal for her to be in the back seat with him. And
mm-hmm,
I guess it was enough of a distraction,
mm-hmm,
that she was able to take that. It was like a good hour and a half trip.
Mm-hmm.
We got down there and she just had the time of her life there.
Mm-hmm.
And she had so much fun and treats. She got to go swimming. I mean, it was a huge payoff. And I'll tell you, I could take this dog anywhere now. I mean, on long trips, I can take her.
Mm-hmm.
And she doesn't even drool anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was to the point where she would be able to make the trip without vomiting, but she would do quite a bit of drooling, and now even the drooling is gone.
So, Karen, you said that it took a year to get her over this. I'm sure you had to take her to the vet, or you had to take her somewhere that wasn't quite as rewarding as going down to Barnegat.
Exactly, exactly.
So,
but you know what I did was I made, each time we got into the car, even if we just went around the block, you know, I would give her some, really, she is very food motivated.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that is Lucy's entire reason for living,
mm-hmm,
is to find out how I could get something to eat.
Right.
So, you know, food really trumps anything, and even when she's not feeling well, she'll eat. So that was my ace in the hole.
Right.
But I'll tell you, you know, if you don't have a dog that likes eating, I mean, you have some challenges, but, you know, you could play with a toy, or even just go visit someone that the dog likes, or,
mm-hmm,
you know, bring him to socialize with another dog that he enjoys.
Mm-hmm.
There's other things that you can substitute as rewards, so it doesn't always necessarily have to be food. And if the dog does get car sick, I mean, food may not be the best option, because you don't want your dog vomiting in the car.
Mm-hmm.
But I also wouldn't let her go in the car after eating.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You know, I would not feed her morning meal, and she would be very hungry.
Mm-hmm.
So when we did get in the car and I had those treats, boy, she was, you know, up front and center. Where am I getting a new treat? And she wasn't really even paying attention.
Right.
And then I noticed that she kind of found a very comfortable place for her to be, and that is looking outside the back window.
Ah, good, because I was just going to say that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Outside the back window at the car behind us, it gives her a focal point. Things aren't constantly moving and shaking and blurry, and she really enjoys that quite a bit, and mm-hmm, I've noticed that that also has helped.
Yeah, so that is a suggestion that I was going to make, is to, you know, maybe put the dog in a crate if you have a hatchback big enough and you have a car big enough that you can put the dog in a crate, and
mm-hmm,
turn the dog to face the back. For some reason, that seems to have a positive influence on the dog. That I don't know why. I don't understand why, but that just seems to work.
I just think that things are not really passing you as much in the back.
Right.
Especially if there's a car behind you. And generally there is, unless you know live in a very suburban area where there isn't much traffic. But
mm-hmm,
I mean, generally, if you're living in the suburbs and you know you're living, you know, near malls and you're doing your fair share of shopping, I mean, chances are there's going to be a car or something behind you.
Sure.
So that's a really good suggestion.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. The other thing, other than crating, if you don't have a car that you can fit a crate into, I am a definite proponent of seat belts for dogs. Because that will help stabilize the dog, and the dog can't be running running and back and forth, you know, to jump in the front seat and things like that. So I think if you stabilize the dog, that would help also.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are remedies. You know, I mean, you know, you can always give your dog Dramamine, but you know, there you go. A lot of people are uncomfortable with using any kind of drug or chemical, and I can't blame them. And but if you're going on a long ride and you're not willing to stop every 15 to 20 minutes if that was necessary, then you do have to kind of use something that's going to make the dog feel drowsy and let the dog go to sleep and relax.
You know, and those stops, you know, sometimes they can't be brief.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't just get out of the car for a minute and get back in. I mean,
right.
You know, you're dealing with a mind that's been all revved up and psyched out.
Right.
So you need to maybe spend like maybe about 20 minutes going for a little walk or, you know, doing another activity that gets the dog's mind to settle down a bit before you, you know, reintroduce the car.
Right.
Another suggestion that I have is really tucker the dog out before you go in the car.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this might be, you know, the morning that you take your dog for maybe like a 3-mile walk.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe spend some time in the home teaching it a new skill,
mm-hmm.
Something that it hasn't learned before so that the brain gets mentally fatigued and tired.
Mm-hmm.
That way the dog does not have that much energy to devote to fearfulness and anxiety once it gets in the car.
Right, right. Well,
I'd like to talk more about car chasing behaviors in a little bit, but I'd like to take a break so that Renee could share some of the services that she offers in the South Jersey area as a professional trainer and certified behavior consultant.
Is your dog always in the doghouse? Does he greet people by jumping all over them? Does she chew your shoes and steal your undies? Guess what? Your dog needs training. Hi, I'm Renee Premeza, the Jersey Dog Trainer, and I train dogs using only positive-based methods. My services include private training right in your own home. I also offer group puppy kindergarten classes starting at 8 weeks of age and group classes for adolescent and adult dogs beginning at 5 months of age. All group classes are held at Dog Days Camp for Canines, 23 West Main Street, Marlton, New Jersey. For more information, please contact me at 609-280-9338 or on the web at www.jerseydogtrainer.com. Again, that's 609-280-9338 or on the web at www.jerseydogtrainer.com. Welcome back to Thursday in the Doghouse. I'm your host, Renee Premeza, the Jersey Dog Trainer, and Karen Fazio, the Dog Super Nanny, is also host of the show. For those of you who might just be tuning in, Karen and I are talking about car issues and dogs today. We also have our lines open if anybody wants to call up and tell us about any kind of fearful issue that they may be dealing with their own dog. Our number is 856-227-1360. Again, that's 856-227-1360. And you can tell us about any problem that you're having, and Karen and I will try to offer some suggestions that might help you resolve those issues. So we just got done talking about car sickness and what sort of things may cause it and what sort of things may help with that over time. There's never a quick fix to any fearful issue or a stomach issue like that. That's physical, so you know you have to really go slow at things. I deal with a lot of dogs, unfortunately, who wind up becoming afraid of cars, and there are many reasons for that. And one of the main ones, I think, is that when here's a really common scenario, Karen. You get a puppy. Somebody gets a puppy. And the vet tells them, do not take your dog anywhere until they've had their full set of shots.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not until the dog is 16 weeks old.
Great medical advice, terrible behavioral.
Terrible medical advice. Unfortunately, the window of socialization closes around 12 weeks. So socialization doesn't just mean socializing with other dogs. It doesn't just mean socializing with people. Those two things things are very key in the socialization agenda, but the dog has to be exposed to just about everything that would be commonly in that dog's life forever by the time he gets to be 12 weeks old. So when I'm called in to work with a puppy that is like 16 weeks old or, you know, a little bit older, even like 13 weeks old, and the owner is telling me I'm now taking my dogs for a walk and he's petrified of cars, that's the reason. He was not exposed to the sound of traffic. He wasn't exposed to hearing the sounds of traffic or seeing what a car even looks like. It's spooky. You're walking along and something comes swishing by you from behind or coming toward you. The puppy or the dog starts to freak out.
Let me tell you. Mm-hmm. I have to tell you, one of the most challenging dog is one that was not socialized.
Yeah. Okay.
Unbelievable.
You had a dog like that was afraid of cars?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, the dog was so afraid of cars that it couldn't even pass a car.
Right, right.
Even a parked car.
Right.
And, you know, like, when an animal has fears, like, of things like that, you know, they start to, like, spread out. It's like a blot of ink on a newspaper.
Mm.
You know, it kind of is like a little dot, and then before you know it, it's like the size of a nickel.
Right. Right.
And you know, so you know, walking a dog past a car might be afraid of a car, or that. Excuse me.
Karen, I believe we have a caller. Karen, hold on a minute.
Okay.
Yeah. Who is it? Jenna. Okay.
I have an 11-year-old chocolate lab, and she's increasingly more nervous in the car, you know, shaking the whole bit. But because of her age, like, we just don't really know, you know, how much we can help her with that. What do you suggest we should do? Should we just avoid it altogether?
Hi, Jenna. Thank you so much for contacting us. I appreciate that. You said your dog is 11 years old?
Yes.
And how long has he been afraid of the car, or is this a new behavior?
I think for a couple of years, it kind of just became worse and worse as she did get older. We just attribute it to her, you know, getting older and being more nervous.
Right.
So we've kind of been, you know, traveling with her more infrequently.
Okay. So when she gets into the car now, where does she have to go? Is it just the vet visit or?
Yeah, just to and from the vet, sometimes the park, but we've just kind of been limiting it.
Okay. So does she vomit? Does she get car sick?
Not so much vomiting, but just shaking and
drooling.
Like with drooling and stuff.
Okay. Have you spoken with your vet about it?
Not really.
Well, it might be something that you want to do because we don't want, you know, at 11 years old, we really don't want the dog to experience a lot of stress. We want to keep your dog healthy, and so when she gets in the car, if she's drooling or really upset, her cortisol levels are going to go shoot through the moon, and that has a definite effect on the dog's immune system. So I would definitely, that's my number one priority, would be to talk to your vet about this, and maybe he can offer, you know, maybe he can give her something that would be a mild medication to help her get over her fear, and you can ask for a medication that would be something that would be as needed, something that you
right.
wouldn't have to give her every single day just to help her through
yeah.
a car issue.
Like a short acting.
Right. And if I'm not mistaken, and I you know, I'm not even sure I should be giving you this information, but I believe that there's a group of drugs called diazepans that are for short acting, short term periods. So check with your vet about that. Karen, do you have any other suggestions?
I do. You know, even though the dog is elderly, I mean, you can spend some time, you could teach her something new.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's never too old to learn a new trick.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's just touching your hands for a treat.
In the car.
You try to get her to do something that's mentally challenging before you get her in the car.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I think that what you're doing is the right thing. I think, you're limiting her trips, but, you know, try not to limit them just to the vet or, you know, to the groomer. You know, take her around the corner. Just around the corner.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe get her some frosty paws.
Hey, Jenna, you know, where do you feed your dog?
What do I feed her?
Where? Do you feed her in the house in the kitchen like everybody else?
Yes.
Yeah. So does she have a good appetite? Is she food motivated?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. So here's a suggestion, darling. At mealtime, maybe one meal a day, you can take your dog's food bowl and just place it on the outside of the car. And let her eat her meal. Make sure she's really hungry. Standing right next to the car. And then you would do that for a few days, and then you may want to put the food bowl on the back seat of the car and let her jump in to eat it, and then she gets right out. Okay, so what you want to do is you want to start changing her emotions about the negativity of the car. At least she's not getting sick, so she's not having an association of nausea.
Right.
But if you start making the car a really fun and interesting place to be and a place where she gets the best meals, you might even want to lace her food on the days that you are putting the food in the car with something like a little bit of, you can drizzle a little bit of chicken soup stock or beef soup stock over the kibble to make it taste completely different. So that she has something new to look forward to and something where she would think, oh, this is the day or this is the time that I get that food that really tastes delicious. And then you get her right back out.
Okay.
Is that a possibility? What, honey?
Like almost desensitizing her.
Oh, that's exactly what you're doing. That's exactly what you're doing. And then
what you're doing. Dog owner on the phone.
Yeah, good for you. And so what you want to do is start, you know, maybe doing that, and then in a little bit of time after she starts, when you start to see a yippy response, it's like, oh, goody, I get to eat in the car. What you might want to do is just put her in the car and then just turn the engine on and then turn the engine off and get her out.
Okay.
So you need some time, so you don't have to take her for any kind of lengthy drive. And you want to work your way up to, let's say, putting her in the car, turn the engine on, back up out of the driveway, and pull back in and get her out. So in other words,
generous to capture positive behaviors before anything negative happens. So, you know, what you can do as a test is you can establish what her threshold is. You know,
right.
So maybe like tomorrow, just put her in the car and kind of keep a mental note or even keep a stopwatch with you in time how long it takes for her to get nervous. When does
okay.
she start shaking? And now you have a time frame
excellent.
In which to work with. So
right.
if you know that it takes 15 minutes before mm-hmm. she starts going into a full-out, you know, shake and drool, man, that's a lot of time. I mean, even if you capture good behaviors within the first minute and a half, I mean, that is big. Now you
right.
have, like, 13 and a half minutes left
mm-hmm.
that you can work with her on. I mean,
right.
if it takes less than a minute for her to shake, then you have a narrower time frame. But like Renee said, you could feed her in the car. You could start, you know, trying to fill in that void. And over time, as like you said earlier, you know, when she gets desensitized to it, you could start expanding that.
Hey, Jenna, the one thing that you want to always remember is you want to keep her under threshold. You want to prevent that negative response. You want to prevent her from feeling badly about being in the car at all times. So if you can just now start creating a new history about being in the car where it's always positive, it's always short and sweet, literally, I think that you'll have a good shot at, you know, at least being able to take her on a 5 or 10 or 15 minute drive. You know, in a month or so, as long as you keep working on it every single day.
I have one more suggestion.
Very quickly. Mm-hmm.
When you go to the vet, start taking different routes.
Oh, that's a great
okay.
idea.
Okay,
that's
don't take
idea.
The same route.
That's a great idea, right.
Because, you know, I mean, these dogs, you know, as they age, you know, the examinations start getting more, you know, painful, and, you know, maybe they're, you know, the achy, and, you know, they're really not in the mood.
Mm-hmm.
So you could take longer different trips around, or, you know, go right past the vet's office and go to an ice cream place and get her maybe like a low-fat vanilla ice cream or a frozen yogurt.
Hey, listen, guys, thank you. Jenith, I'm so grateful that you called. I appreciate your calling, and I hope that we've given you some good advice here. I'm glad that you're listening. Unfortunately, we're running out of time. So I hope everybody has a great week. Jenna, I hope that things improve with your dog. Give us a call sometime and let us know how you make out, okay?
Thank you. Will do.
Thank you so much. Karen, you have a great week. And
yeah,
listen, guys, get your dogs out for a walk today, and we'll talk to you next week.
Okay.
Bye now.
Take care.
I'm glad you're home, but where you've been? Since 2 o'clock, I've been holding it in.
go out. Well, I'd love to stay and talk, of course.